In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're finishing up our two-parter on the psychology of resolutions. We're in the new year. I know a lot of you have probably made resolutions. A lot of you probably already failed your resolutions since we're more than a week into the new year. But I'm going to talk to you about the psychology of it. And in part one, we were talking about why people fail at their resolutions, what holds them back. But we're going to get very specific in this episode, and I'm going to give some tips on how you can keep your resolution or even reframe it or restructure it so that you will be more successful. And as usual, we'll give away free stuff. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Part two
of the psychology of resolutions. Awesome. And if you've not listened to part one, jump back an episode, or you can catch up with that after we're done here. You'll get all the information the same way. So,
hey,
that's all cool.
Yeah.
That is Matt Fox, the other voice you hear.
Yo.
We're hanging out Monday evening doing a podcast.
Hey.
Those of you on Facebook Live, thanks for coming in and watching us live as we record. If you guys are listening to this on your platform, whatever platform that is, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, I don't know what else. There's probably hundreds of them. I don't even know anymore.
There's so many.
So wherever you're listening, you can always join us live and be a part of our conversation while we record. So
ask questions.
Typically, it's every Monday evening, Eastern Standard Time at 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thereabouts. Give or take a few minutes. Sometimes, like today, we started early because we wanted to.
Yeah, that's our resolution.
That is
to be on time.
Yes, absolutely.
If not early.
Yes. And we're going to get to that. Hold that and remind me in a moment.
I'll talk about one of my philosophies.
Okay. Yep. So let me tell you, folks, where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. As I mentioned last episode, if you want to get a high school grad or a prom night, now's the time. Schedule is building, filling up. And already, so last year, let me just give you a frame of reference. I think I did close to, I have the hiccups now. I did 26 shows last year. Between prom and grad nights.
Wow.
So end of April, May, June.
That's a lot of people.
And when you get to end of May, beginning of June, that's where all the grad nights start falling. So pretty much 3 weeks straight, was like almost every night. So,
all right.
So if you want to reserve a hypnotist for your grads, and let me say this, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'm the best one you're going to get in this area.
There you go.
See, I'm just telling you.
You have to say that.
There are a lot of hypnotists out there. And let me. I won't go off too far on this, but let me tell you a couple things. Hypnotists are not licensed by the state or by any other body. Hmm. They're certifications that can be given by hundreds of different organizations. So anybody. You don't have to have any mental health training or education whatsoever to get certified as a hypnotist. Certain states require titles, like in Florida and I think in Colorado, and it might be California. You cannot call yourself a hypnotherapist because you don't have a mental health degree. You have to call yourself a hypnotist.
Right.
But other than those states, and there might be one other one, there are no specific requirements for hypnosis. So let me say this. I'm a licensed therapist. I have a master's degree in counseling, bachelor's degree in psychology, and I'm a hypnotist. So here's the thing that I want to convey the importance of this. You could hire a hypnotist, that person, and this is not a slam on plumbers. That person might be a plumber in their full-time job. They're just doing hypnosis shows on the side. Here's the issue with that. If you ever, and there, it's rare, but every once in a while you'll run into a problem.
That would make them a hobby hypno.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Hobby hypno.
What in blazes are you talking about?
So it's not to say that they won't do a good job necessarily, but if they're not trained in mental health, that there are certain issues that could happen. And again, they're rare, but once in a while they happen.
We talked about that.
We've done that. Yes. If you go back, go way back, and there are archives and look at when hypnosis goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I may revisit this because that's more than a couple years ago when we talked about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do another episode on that just so I can catch people up and you don't have to go back in the archives and search for it. But
all right.
So long story short, I'm the best that there is around here. So if you want to book your date, now's the time to do it at MotorCityHypnotist.com.
Boat floated.
Social media, Facebook and YouTube are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Instagram and Snapchat, both Motor City Hypno, HYPNO.
Mm-hmm.
And for your free hypnosis guide, text the word hypnosis to 313-800-8510. That is 313-800-8510. You will have that within a few minutes.
All right.
Just yours. It's free. Totally nothing. Cost you nothing.
That's a great resolution.
Absolutely. To
get free stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a great way to start.
Absolutely. That's a great resolution to get free stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Oh, so man. That's where you can find me, folks. So
do
it's
it.
Time.
Here we go
for our winner of the week.
That's how winning is done.
All right. So what do we got?
All right. So this is a fairly short story, but I thought it was a great story.
Okay.
A man in Inner Mongolia, China, went above and beyond to rescue a pregnant horse that was trapped in a deep hole in the snow.
Okay.
That's a lot to take in. Let me read that first line again.
Okay, one, we're in Mongolia.
Yeah, Mongolia, China. A man in Inner Mongolia, China, went above and beyond to rescue a pregnant horse that was trapped in a deep hole in the snow.
All right, so... I'm still taking this in, but go on because I want to hear more.
Let me give you just a picture of the horse in the hole.
Okay. How pregnant was this horse?
I don't know.
That horse is pregnant. Trying to figure out where does the horse start?
Well, that's kind of what I was looking, the way it was laying. I couldn't really get a good.
There's the head. Okay. I got the ears.
Okay.
The front legs are at the top of the picture.
Okay.
The bottom legs are still somewhat in the hole.
Right.
All right. It's okay.
Okay.
Just to give
you a visual of what's going on here. Yeah.
All right.
He found the horse lying lifeless, unable to find any strength to pull itself out. The rescuer, who lives in Hulunbur, summoned his friends and eventually used a loader with a rope to hoist the horse out of the hole.
He just happened to have a loader?
Well, he summoned friends. So I don't know if his friends had a loader. I don't know if they were...
Oh, good for
you. So they're in Mongolia.
I don't know if they had one in their garage. Sure. I don't know.
What the fuck are you doing?
When I think of Mongolia, I think of a large, expansive area.
So right.
How did this person summon his friends? Was it smoke signal?
Yeah, yeah, you know, who
knows? Were they standing on top of a mountain
they're
somewhere?
Psychic or something? I don't know. It's crazy.
Okay.
Oh, great Odin's raven.
So they have a loader.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Summoned his friends and they eventually used a loader with a rope to hoist the horse out of the hole. A heartwarming video shows the successful rescue, after which the horse seemed completely unharmed by the ordeal.
That's great.
Except for being pregnant.
Being a horse guy. I learned how to ride horses.
Did you really?
English style. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I was jumping horses the whole nine yards when I was in grade.
Oh, good for you.
In grade school. My mother was like, I will have equestrians in my family. And my sister and I learned how to ride.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a horse guy. But so thank you for bringing a horse story to Winner of the Week.
No, I have clients who've been involved in equestrian.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends, his daughters. One of his daughters has been an equestrian all through high school and college.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm familiar somewhat.
Yep.
Like I can tell you what saddle seat is, which most people have no idea what I'm talking about.
When I said English style, you knew exactly what I was talking about.
I did. and fair just enough. From talking to people who are in that world.
Yep. My dad, he was a mounted police officer for the United States Park Police. In D.C. So he rode a horse for his entire career in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
So, and that's how he and my mother met way back in the 80s, because his daughter was taking lessons and then my sister and I were taking lessons and all of us just came together and we've been together as a family ever since.
Nice.
Because of horses.
That's fantastic. My best friend, I just said that the daughter was an equestrian. His father was a Detroit mounted police for his entire career.
They're good people.
Yeah. I know. It's great. A heartwarming video shows a successful rescue after which the horse seemed completely unharmed by the ordeal.
Good.
The Good Samaritans reportedly said that before the horse wandered away from the scene, it looked back at them and gave them a gesture which seemed like an expression of gratitude.
It was this. His head was bobbing up and down.
What happened?
Yes.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Well, the horse probably wasn't yelling.
No,
but,
no, it was bobbing its head as to say thank you.
Do you know what he said?
Oh, good for you.
No, I don't.
And do you know who provided the video?
Who provided the video?
Mr. Wang.
In Mongolia, China?
Mr. Wang in Mongolia, China.
I would expect nothing less. If you had said Mr. Smith, I would have said you're lying.
What kind of stupid wiener name is that?
I would have.
Cut it out, Wang.
What happened?
All right.
Okay.
If you had said Mr. Smith, I would have gone a different direction, but right, you just pulled a wiener joke out.
Yeah, so go on. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. It's
quite pungent. Stings the nostrils.
Oh, so anyway, let me get the guy's name.
Yes, bring that back up. It was the gentleman in Mongolia, China. Wasn't it? I don't think they gave a name.
He didn't give a name.
No.
Mr. Wang is the only one to receive credit in this story for the video.
He was one of the friends.
Mr. Wang was just holding the phone. He didn't do anything.
He was summoned, and that was
cut
his
it
job.
Out, Wang.
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
He was summoned and brought forth to videotape. Yes.
Maybe it was his loader they used, and he just recorded it.
I've given enough. I'm done.
The fuck are you doing?
So anyway, good story. The horse got rescued, pulled out of a hole. You know what? We do a lot of these animal stories on our show.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm thinking, how many instances of these animal endangerment that we don't hear about?
Right. We've had dogs stuck in a very large hole for a long amount of time. We just had a goat story on the side of the hill.
Yep, the goat on the side of the hill.
Right. We've had cats that were, lost in down in like tunnels under the streets and what have you.
For months at a time.
Down in the sewers and what have you.
Yes.
There's a lot that goes on with these animals.
It's just amazing, though, that I'm sure we don't hear the stories of animals just dying, which is good, because I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Okay.
But no, these stories almost seem to always come out, and it's always people helping. That's why this is the winner of the week. That's the whole point of it. So again, great story.
And a horse
and
was
definitely
able to...
winner of the week.
Go for it.
How winning is done.
I have to look this up because
we have
the name of a baby horse. Is it called a fawn?
I believe so. No, a foal.
Is it a foal term for a foal?
Foal.
F-O-A-L.
Fawn is a deer.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Got it. I just want to make sure I got that right. So she was able to provide and give birth to a foal, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
So talking about change.
So, back to it.
Oh, a little echo there.
Hey, I like Negan.
Cut it out, Negan.
So, back to it.
To it.
Oh, good for you.
All right, so
we're talking about the psychology of resolutions.
Yes.
In part one, we talked about taking on too big of a task, too big of a change, too much involved.
If you don't have a loader, you can't save the horse.
No, you can't.
That's too big of a task.
Yes, you're not going to pull them out yourself. Be realistic.
See, oh, boy.
That escalated quickly. Okay. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
You just brought that back threefold. All right, absolutely. All right, keep going.
So we're talking about, and we ended last time talking about, we aren't asking why. Mm-hmm. Why we're doing the resolution. Why would it succeed or fail? So one of the reasons that resolutions fail is that people aren't ready to change.
No, because
as much as they want to, they're just not ready in their minds to change.
Right.
Even though that's what they want.
So, you know, change happens all the time, but it has to be something that happens to that individual that is so drastic that they're forced to change.
Well, when we go back to the statement by James Clear, the pain of needing to change has to be greater than the pain of changing.
Right.
And that balance is going to dictate how successful you're going to be. Mm-hmm. So there are steps as far as there's a model. It's called stages of changes. Mm-hmm. And there are steps to this. The first one is pre-contemplation.
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 You're thinking about
changing. You're starting to become aware there may be something that you need to change. Mm-hmm. Now, again, whether that's getting rid of habit, whether that's losing weight, whether that's working out, whether that's, you know, improving your mental health. You've thought about this. It's something that's come across your mind that, you know what? I probably should do something about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm bleeding out my eyeballs. I should really get that looked at, you know, just something's wrong.
So pre-contemplation leads to contemplation. You think to yourself, I need to make a change. Mm-hmm. That's where your mind has said, I commit to this. Preparation is next. You start putting together a plan to make a change.
Put it on paper. Put that plan down on paper. If you write it out, it becomes real.
The next step is action. You make the change. You take action on it.
You follow what you wrote down.
Well, here's the fifth one. And I think the most important one of all of those.
Okay.
Maintenance. You determine and stick to how to maintain the change. Because most people get to the action part.
Okay.
But they don't get to the maintenance part where, how am I going to keep this up?
Okay. That is
the big thing.
The revisitation of what you wrote down, the goals that you put in front of you, you have to be able to maintain. And guess what? It might change.
Yep.
Those little things, because you might have to tweak something to make sure that you are still able to keep that resolution or keep that goal in mind.
Right.
And you have to be able to bend with those types of things, right?
So here's the thing, and it's broken down on these steps: pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, and maintenance. Most people that fail with their resolutions are in the contemplation stage. They're thinking about making a change.
I don't need to do that. I'm good.
Or they're like, yeah, I should do that. Let's try that. It didn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
You haven't committed the action and the maintenance structure to keep you on track for that.
The Dexatrim just ain't working for me.
So again, if you make a resolution on a whim, you're probably not going to be successful at it.
No, it's on a whim. That's just
it's just something like, yeah, I should do that.
It's a fly-by-night idea. It was probably when you had too many cocktails in you, and you're like, I need to make this change. You wake up the next morning, you don't even remember doing anything.
Yeah, and you're not really even thinking about what you were doing.
You're not engaged in the idea. You don't care about the idea. It was just on a whim.
Right, on a whim. So we're going to talk about how to create lasting change.
Okay.
And that's the whole point of a resolution. Now, here's the thing. I am not big in this. This is, again, this is bias coming from me because of what I do. I've been doing therapy for 30 years with people. New Year's resolutions, I can tell you just from experience, the majority of people are not going to keep their resolutions. We go back to the poll we talked about last episode. 90% of the people fail their resolutions.
Right.
So the question becomes, well, why should I even make a resolution if 90% of the people fail?
And it was what? 66.5% of people felt pressured?
Yes, felt pressured to make a resolution. Mm-hmm. Yes, something of that point. So here's a thing too. We talked about setting unrealistic expectations, mm-hmm. going too big. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that's manageable. Mm-hmm. So real change requires incremental steps.
Of course.
That is the big thing to keep in mind. This is cliche, but you know, if you need to travel 1,000 miles, you have to take one step in that direction.
Right.
One step at a time, or 1 mile at a time, mm-hmm. or whatever measurement you want to use.
Yeah. Instead of saying I'm going to the gym for 2 hours, how about you go and work out at home for 15 minutes?
Right.
And then work yourself to a point where you then have the time.
And you can even break it down even smaller, Matt, because I've even said to clients, I said, okay, you want to be more physically active.
Yeah.
Do you have a second floor at home? Yes. Okay. Walk up and down the stairs 10 times a day.
Yeah.
10 times more than what you usually do.
There you go.
It's at home. You don't need equipment. You don't need time. Mm-mm. It's just something that you can do.
Remember step aerobics?
Yes.
See?
Yeah. Remember jazzercise?
My mother was a teacher. She was an aerobics instructor. And jazzercise was a part of it.
Jazzercise.
Love what in blazes are you talking about?
Love you, Mom.
I ain't listening to you no more.
She was an instructor.
That's fantastic.
At a gym in Anchorage, Alaska, when we lived.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going to the and actually participating in jazzercise and aerobics.
Really?
And then I go off.
Sexy time.
Yeah. I was introduced to the
That's fantastic.
I was introduced to leg warmers at a very young age, let's just say.
So the big thing, bringing it full circle, real change requires incremental steps.
Yes.
If you go all in, chances are you're going to fail. No, because you cannot keep up that pace.
But you said go all in. You can go all in, but you need to be able to pace yourself mm-hmm. and give yourself those measurable and attainable goals.
Right.
Go all in, but set yourself up for success.
Well, and we're going to go back because Matt brought this up at the beginning of last episode.
Yeah.
Smart goals.
Smart goals are important.
Repeat them again, Matt.
Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound.
Yep. Think of those things. And these will be in the show notes. I encourage you, and Matt brought it up earlier, write it down.
You have to.
Write those things down.
Mm-hmm.
Those aspects of what your goals are so that you can follow it. Here's the thing. People left to their own devices tend not to stay on path.
No.
So the big thing is it's so much easier to just follow a plan that's laid out for you.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, putting all these out, but you have to be able to answer for you and your goals.
Yes. Right?
So, you know, it's okay to include a friend.
Sure.
You know,
that gives you, I mean, a lot of people have workout buddies yes. just for that reason keep them accountable.
I've got four of them.
Well, yeah. You guys are training for Tough Mudder, right?
Not just that, but going even way back mm-hmm. in the day, it was me and three other guys.
Yep.
We'd go to the gym. We would help each other out. We would cheer each other on, and then we would communicate throughout, you know, our days. Hey, mm-hmm. how you feeling? Look forward to seeing you.
Yep.
This is what I'm planning to do. You keep everyone motivated.
Yeah.
And you need that motivation yes. to keep yourself going as well.
Absolutely. So the big thing is to make them smart goals.
Mm-hmm.
What Matt just talked about, write them down. And then every day, again, if you have these in incremental, like small, measurable, bite-sized pieces, it's going to be so much easier for you to instill these new habits. So here's the thing. People don't work out. That's a bad habit. They just don't do it. They can go 3, 4, 5 a year, 10 years without working out at all.
And then they have a dicky do.
And well, yeah. And then they can't find their dick.
How are you going to win this little wet?
That definitely needed an echo. That needed an
echo. Needed an echo, didn't yeah, it?
It did.
How are you going to wipe a table with this little? It's not even wet.
The innuendos go through my head right now. Oh,
that's fantastic. So make smart goals, write them down. So I'm going to give you a couple of things. If you want to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
people, and I've talked to clients about this. This is a specific one. If you want to lose 100 pounds, that's not going to happen in a week.
Rice water. It'll happen. I'm kidding.
Make your goal to lose 10 pounds in a month. Excuse me.
I'll tell you what, 10 pounds in a month is still...
Still pretty steep.
Still pretty steep just because of the dietary habits that we have as human beings in America, okay? We have some extraordinary dietary habits, and the food that we eat really kind of holds us back a little bit. It does.
And here's one of the things. When I do hypnosis with people for weight loss, I don't concentrate on... I tell them specifically, don't worry about weight. That number means nothing right now.
It means zilch.
So you're going to make changes that are going to make you feel better. The weight will be a consequence of that. So if you start eating better, you start feeling better, you start becoming more active, the weight number will take care of itself. That's not what we want to focus on.
I will recommend, there's a show on Netflix. It's called You Are What You Eat.
Yep.
And it was a study based on twins.
Okay.
That had the same DNA structure.
Uh-huh.
And one was fed a vegetarian, a vegan diet. And the other one had
a meat diet. Yeah.
It was extraordinary, the results between the two of them, because they're the exact type of DNA.
Well, sure.
Exact same DNA.
Yeah, right.
So they were able to measure how much weight they lost or how much muscle they gained. When you're talking about weight and trying to lose it, if you're working out and you're doing core exercises and weight training, you're not going to lose weight.
No, you're building muscle.
You're going to build muscle.
Yes, yes.
And you're going to get rid of that unhealthy fat that sits around our organs, right? That's a whole that there's so
much. And the reason I bring that up is people get stuck on a number. It's like, oh, I have to lose 100 pounds. I'm like, no, you can't look at it like that.
No,
look at it that I want to be more healthy. Let's look at it in a broader sense. Mm-hmm. And you spend 2 or 3 days a week doing more than what you've been doing. That is how you do it.
And what we haven't touched on is the financial part of that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Because folks, I'm going to go to the gym, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a cost to that.
Absolutely.
If you plan properly, that's why you start working out at home to get yourself to a point, because now you may not be going out as much as you used to. You may not be buying all that fast food that you used
to.
Now you're saving that money and you can put that towards maybe that gym membership.
Sure.
If you need it.
Here's the thing. You can get a membership at Planet Fitness right now for less than $20 a month.
And that's fantastic.
I think for a regular membership, it's only $10 a month.
It is. It's $10 a month.
I think the black card is $25, I think.
Where you can go to any Planet Fitness, right? But you got to be careful with that, because if you're out and about and it's either Wendy's or Planet Fitness.
Uh-huh.
If you're hungry, you're like, I got to get something in me before I go work out. But then...
Well, see, but that brings up a whole nother thing that we will do an episode on.
All right.
So we're coming up with a bunch of episodes this session, Matt, episode.
You're welcome.
Because we're gonna talk about, I forgot what the original one was, the one we were gonna come back to. Oh, when hypnosis goes wrong.
Right.
We're gonna do a thing specifically on weight management. We've done that way back when.
Did you say session?
A couple years ago.
Did you say session?
I said session because I'm used to talking about clients. Yes, I know. It's crazy.
I get my weekly therapy in with David.
I'm listening to you no more.
I'm very important.
That's great.
Many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
That was funny.
So here's for those of you out there struggling with resolutions. Maybe you've already failed yours. I want you to reset. It doesn't matter what the date is.
Doesn't matter.
January 1st is gone.
Doesn't matter what the resolution is either.
It doesn't matter what the resolution is. I want you to break it down into very manageable steps. Use the SMART system as far as your goals go. And if you need to find that, that will be in the show notes. If you need to find it even before then, look up SMART goals online.
Yeah.
It's immediately there. That's the most common structure as far as setting goals.
But I'll go back to what you said earlier. As you set these goals, you have to ask yourself why.
Yes.
And then get into yourself with that. No, I want to feel better. But what's gonna help you to feel better?
Well, and the other thing is what are you basing feeling better on? Your own perception, or is that other people's perception? Because that changes everything. Yep. Because it's like, and I hate to be blunt, but F other people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they feel. What do you feel?
If you want to look better naked, that's okay.
Yes, absolutely. any improvement you want to make, that's on you. Yeah. You don't have to be pressured by somebody else to do it. That's something that would be you, something that makes you happy.
But bring your friends into it. Let's have a party.
There you go. We'll do a resolution party.
Do you want to look better naked?
We're going to
do you want to look better naked? Yeah, let's come on.
February 1st, naked.
Sexy time.
Naked podcast.
I don't want to have a dicky do by June 1.
No. You've had your limit today. You drink water.
It's the wrong one, but it doesn't even matter.
How are you going to wipe a table with this little? It's not even wet.
Speak for yourself. Oh, man. But, you know, I'm very happy that you brought up resolutions.
Yes.
Because there's, you know, over the past month, there's been a lot of talk on the news and on outlets. And
it's every year. Every year New Year's Eve comes around, people talk about resolutions.
And it's okay to have resolutions. But
I feel like it's this fabricated pressure that's put on people to make change. I am all for change. That's what therapy is about. It's changing your life to make things better. That's the whole point of therapy. Resolutions can work the same way, but it doesn't have to be January 1st.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be something you feel pressured into. What do you want to do? How do you want to feel? What changes do you want to make?
I will point one thing out that is becoming very popular. And it's actually working for a lot of people. Dry January.
Okay.
I failed.
Oh, okay? Well, there you go.
Dry January is, you know, because you spent the holidays, you had cocktails, you had
you just went
all out. You had a great time. Yep. But then folks do a dry January where they don't have any alcohol for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of days, they start to feel better.
Absolutely.
After a week, they feel extraordinary because they haven't any poison, any alcohol in their system at all. Yep. After that 1 month, that's when you should, you know, during that month, that's when, you know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should start looking at other ways to maybe feel better about myself health. You know, it doesn't have to be working out. It could be your diet. Right. It could be your finances.
It could be anything. It could be your relationships. It could be.
Yeah. I won't be such a.
Just being nice to people. I'm going to go back to this and I want to end on this.
Yes.
Make one resolution. If you had to make one, I don't care if it's not smoking or weight or whatever.
Yeah.
Health, exercise. I want everybody just to take this one into account. Just be kind. Just start there. Because once you start feeling better, I'm telling you, if you're kind to people, you will feel better about yourself. And then you're more likely to take these other steps to take care of yourself because you feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm.
Hold the door open for somebody. Say thank you.
Just we're all humanity here. We're all trying to live and survive and prosper. And it's...
Tip more than 2%, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know there's so many things I could point out, but you know, I go back to the 12th doctor.
The 12th of Matt Smith?
No, 13.
Peter Capaldi?
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
His last speech.
Yeah.
That's what I use. Run fast, be kind. No. Gosh, dang it. I forgot it already. Laugh hard,
laugh hard,
run fast, be kind.
Took
he ends on be kind before he regenerates. So
remember, I still love his first line.
Yes.
Kidneys.
I have new kidneys.
I don't like the color.
All right, folks. That is the Psychology of Resolutions Part 2. Before we end, let me tell you, we got another...
Ooh, we got a Detroit Dog Rescue.
We got a Detroit Dog Rescue. Okay. I accidentally put it into my pile of papers. Give me 2 seconds.
We got another puppy. Is it a puppy or a kitty cat?
No, it's a puppy.
Is it a puppy?
Yeah. What did I do with it?
He's in there. I think I thought I saw it. If not, we'll do Godetta again.
No, I got it. I know I have it. I printed it.
All right. So Detroit Dog Rescue, you know, we do love our animals on this show.
We do.
We really do. And we do a lot of good news winners of the week around puppies and kitty cats and goats and horses and all that stuff. So I just make up a name for a pup, or can I just give him my name?
You might give him your name. There's Gadet. We saw Gadet last episode.
I'm looking under the table. I don't see it.
No, I know I have it here because I had him ready to go.
There he is. Is it? Who is it?
Jelly
with a G.
Jay.
Oh, okay.
Jelly, as in peanut butter and jelly, or jelly roll.
Jelly. Okay. What kind?
For all you kids out there who don't know the music, I caught the music scene, but
I caught a jelly roll. Yeah, that song is bugging me right now.
I know.
Every 5 minutes on 95.5.
All right, Jelly was born in 2021, so he's about two and a half years old.
All right.
As a poodle female, she's 8 pounds.
Smaller pup.
Dog friendly, cat friendly, kid friendly.
That's you know what? I think Jelly is one of the first cat friendly pups we've had.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Right. And you know what's odd? That a poodle would be cat friendly.
I don't think
or that's kid odd. Friendly. Poodles can be little dickheads. I'm just saying. I grew up with a poodle.
All right.
You know.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
All right, let me see a picture of Jelly.
There's Jelly.
Oh, look at right into the camera. Oh, look at that. Is Jelly cross-eyed?
I don't know. I don't know.
Jelly looks a little bit cross-eyed.
And he has just a brain like a chicken.
Makes her makes her more adorable.
What are you people? On dope?
Jelly is so cute.
Jelly. It needs a home. Jelly needs a home.
Mm-hmm.
Jelly needs a home. Look at that face.
So if you
could say no to that.
So if you hold a treat up to him, do they see two of them?
Or he just bites beside it and misses it.
I'm listening to you no more.
I'm seeing three. Just hit the one in the middle.
What happened?
So yes, Jelly needs a home. DetroitDogRescue.com. Adopt. Jelly is there.
Yes.
8 pounds. The little teeny thing.
Aww.
She just needs some loving.
Jelly is cute. You know?
Yeah, look at that. Here you go, Matt.
Thank you. I'm going to take a quicker peek here at Jelly here. You know, okay, so poodles are actually intelligent animals. They really are. They are intelligent. They might be a little finicky at some points.
Yeah, they can have an attitude at points.
All animals have an attitude.
Right.
Just ask my cat. But yeah, Jelly, the name Jelly is killing me. I want to bring Jelly home and get another pet and call it.
Good for you.
Call it PB and Jelly.
PB and Jay.
PB and Jelly.
What in blazes are you talking about?
So anyway, well, you know, we had a golden doodle. My dog that passed away was a golden doodle. And he would have that gold. It was weird, that combination, because 90% of the time he was golden. He just wanted love and he loved everybody. But then every once in a while he'd get this little effing attitude and be like, who the hell are you? Yeah. He would just get that poodle attitude every once in a while that would come out. But anyway, Jelly needs a home.
Do it.
Pick her up.
Please.
DetroitDogRescue.com/adopt.
Yes.
All right, folks, that is our episode, our two episode series on resolutions and New Year's resolutions in particular.
Yes.
If you need to change something, start changing it. You don't have to wait for a date or a time or a place. Just start implementing small incremental changes. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're successful. I don't care if you do the small incremental change for 6 months. You're farther ahead than you would have been otherwise. So just start doing it.
I got nothing else to say.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we'll be back next Monday. Join us on Facebook Live. We didn't have anyone check in today.
That's okay. It's a bummer. It's a new year.
I feel sad.
What are you people on dope?
They're busy.
They might be
writing out their goals and their resolutions.
Right.
Great heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
So give them the chance to put you back on the resolution.
Okay. Facebook Live next Monday night, 8:00 Eastern Standard Time. And wherever you can find our podcast, whatever platform you're on, there it is. All right, folks, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.